Hi, and welcome to the Blue Sunday Show. On today's show, is Chelsea's summer spending over? Kalou's birthday bash, comings and goings in the off-season, Drogba's new contract, release date for Chelsea's new third kit, and some paper talk. We've also got all the action from the Community Shield, a preview of next week's games, and much, much more, so stay tuned. So, the football season is finally upon us, and after an off-season which included a Confederations Cup, Andy Murray not winning Wimbledon again, England's under-21 and also the under-19 teams losing in the final of their tournaments, and of course the imminent throwing away of the Ashes, it's back to the Premiership and more importantly Chelsea. So, is Chelsea's summer spending spree over? Chelsea's involvement in the current transfer window is over. The club have made just three signings this summer, with Ross Turnbull, Daniel Sturridge and Yuri Zhirkov moving Stamford Bridge. They have been heavily linked with Milan's Andrea Pirlo, as well as Bayern Munich's Frank Ribery, but Ancelotti has confirmed there are no plans to add to the squad before the transfer window closes. Now we stay with the players I've got. I don't want to make other players, because the squad is very competitive, said Ancelotti. We don't need other players, and I don't expect to make any more signings before the window shuts. Ancelotti also cleared the air over the futures of both midfielder Deco and defender Riccardo Cavallio. Both players have been linked with a move to Inter Milan, now coached by former Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho. Mourinho has claimed that Chelsea have made it difficult for Inter to sign the pair by increasing the size of the fee, but Ancelotti claimed Chelsea had never considered selling the duo and confirmed they would be key assets in his squad this season. We've never talked about selling Cavallio or Deco, added Ancelotti. They are important players for Chelsea. Cavallio is a very intelligent defender and Deco has great quality. This team needs the quality of Deco. They will stay at Chelsea for this season. We don't have the idea to sell the players. If one player is not happy to stay with us, he has to say it to us. But at the moment, nobody asked to go. So, it looks like the spending's over for the summer after being linked with a hell of a lot of players. As always, being Chelsea, of course. I think there was Aguero, Pato, Ribery, were all strong links. I think mainly we were looking for that marquee player, perhaps the player that Deco was supposed to be last season. But it looks like it's not going to come about. I mean, last season we had all the furor with Robinho, will he, won't he, and then he ended up signing for Man City after we'd bloody put his shirt on the website and all that shit, so I think Chelsea have done the chasing. They can't get the players for what they want to pay for them. It's a bit disappointing. Maybe it's a double bluff. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, we can have a look at some of the transfers in and some of the transfers out over the summer. Leaving us is Scott Sinclair. He's gone on loan to Wigan Athletic. Ryan Bertrand's gone on loan to Reading. Franco De Santo's gone on loan to Blackburn Rovers. Quite an interesting one. Playing two up front this season, I suppose he would have got more of a chance this season, but now that we've signed Sturridge, I suppose Sturridge will take pretty much what De Santo's role would have been in the team, so Morten Nielsen's gone on a free transfer to AZ Alkmaar. Lee Sawyer's gone on loan to Southend United. Jimmy Smith's left on a free transfer for Leyton Orient. Tom Tao's gone on loan to Carlisle United. Ben Sahar been at Chelsea for a hell of a long time, has finally left. He's gone from an undisclosed fee to Espanyol. No idea how much that was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just a free transfer, really. I wouldn't expect a lot of money for him. And Slobodan Rajkovic has gone on loan to FC 20. Okay, so we've already spoke about the players coming in. So we've signed Yuri Zhirkov, undisclosed, reported, I think it was 18 million, but an undisclosed fee from CSKA Moscow. There's Daniel Sturridge from Man City, that's also undisclosed. And the goalkeeper Ross Turnbull on a free transfer from Middlesbrough. Returning to the club, oh fantastic, is Andrei Shevchenko. So I've no idea how long he's got left on his contract. It can't be long now, but yep, he's back at Chelsea and he's a Chelsea player once again. Okay, so it was Solomon Kalou's birthday this week. He was the big birthday boy. It was his 24th birthday. There's been some quite strong rumours actually that Kalou would be leaving to join Arsenal. Are quite interested in him. I think 7 or 8 million's been banded around for him. He's had limited chances at Chelsea, mainly because the system we used to play, only playing one striker, but this season it looks like Ancelotti's going to use him as the striker coming off the bench, or if Drogba or Anelka's injured. So I think he'll get a lot more opportunities this season, if he stays, that is, but I expect him to stay. So it's his 24th birthday party this week, and what a party it was, with claims of a £120,000 bar bill. Players were alleged to have spent £120,000 on drinks at an exclusive Mayfair nightclub at a party to celebrate the Ivory Coast striker's 24th birthday. But the club and squad members claim the sums involved have been greatly exaggerated. A statement issued by Chelsea reads, further to media reports that have been appearing, alleging that Chelsea players attending Kalou's birthday party on Wednesday night spent £120,000 on drinks, the club and the players totally deny the facts and implications of these reports. None of the Chelsea players spent these extravagant sums. Whilst many players attended the teammates' party, it was in fact hosted and generously paid for by friends of Solomon, and even the sums involved have been greatly exaggerated. We are consulting our lawyers on behalf of Chelsea and the players, and it is guaranteed, you can bank on that, that formal complaints will follow against those media outlets which publish these false claims. When quizzed about the behaviour of his players, coach Carlo Ancelotti replied, I don't want to control the private lives of my players. Okay, so that was all in the papers this week. I think Ancelotti's quote is quite interesting. I don't want to control the private lives of my players. Yeah, but you know, you don't really want them going out drinking the night before a match and things like this. I don't think you'd see that sort of thing happening at Man U. And if it did, then I think there'd be severe repercussions. But anyway, it was midweek, so it's not really a big thing. Apparently, John Terry spent £60,000 on drinks, and he doesn't even drink alcohol and all these other crap stories. So anyway, it sounds like he had a good birthday, so that's all that matters. Okay, so Didier Drogba signed a new 3-year contract which will keep him at the club until 2012. The striker, 31, was in excellent form at the end of last season, heading home the equaliser in our FA Cup final win over Everton in May. That was his 94th goal in Chelsea colours, taking him to 9th in the all-time list of top goalscorers at Chelsea, of course. Drogba returned in pre-season with another 2 strikes on our US tour against Inter and AC Milan, and is now looking forward to an exciting season at Stamford Bridge. I have decided to extend my contract with Chelsea for 2 extra years, and I'm very happy and proud to continue to wear the blue of Chelsea until then, said the 34-year-old Ivorian international. I love the club. I feel good here and I want to continue to win titles with them. I stay because I'm ambitious to pick up lots more trophies, regain the Premier League title, win cups, It's for this that I've extended my time at Chelsea. But my number one objective is to win the Champions League. I'm convinced that this year we can go to the end and finally lift this trophy. I'd like to take advantage of this message to thank the Chelsea supporters, thank you, who have always encouraged me with favour, as well as all my fans. Despite an injury-hit campaign, Drogba still managed to score 14 times last season and has now played 216 times for the club. So, good news that Drogba's staying. Been linked to quite a few clubs over the years. I think after all the goings-on at the end of the Barcelona game in the Champions League and Drogba, well, he went a bit mental, didn't he? But it's nice to see that. Well, you know, it obviously shows that he cares, for one. I mean, I was actually quite pleased that he gave a shit that they'd been robbed by Barcelona, you know, and I was all for it. People were saying, oh, he's a disgrace, etc., but at least it shows that he gives a shit. So, anyway, this season he's looked really good, pre-season, fantastic. I mean, some of the goals he scored on that US tour, the goals against Inter and AC Milan, fucking fantastic strikes. If you haven't seen them, you have to. I think they're on YouTube, so have a search on YouTube for them if you haven't seen them. So, yeah, Drogba staying on, extended by another 2 years. So, all good, all good. So, let's see. Yeah, that's it. Chelsea's new third kit is now available to pre-order through the online megastore. I don't know if you've seen the new third kit yet, but I think that it's fucking lush. It's white with sort of grey silver hoops. It's just really nice crisp white with these grey and, well, they're more of a like a silver hoop through the shirt. I've got a press release somewhere, that's it. The new Adidas third kit is white with grey hoops and has incorporated the highest sporting technology and design standards into the shirt. The official launch day for this kit is Thursday the 27th of August, so still quite a while yet, but you can, as I said, you can pre-order it through the Chelsea online megastore. Okay, so let's take a moment to look at some of the bullshit transfer rumours flying around the papers today, Sunday the 9th of August. So, Tigers turn to Nugent, various. Hull City boss Phil Brown is ready to move for Portsmouth striker David Nugent as he looks to end his search for a new forward. Well, Hull, who have they got up front? Kuzan. That's about it, really. I mean, they do seem a bit desperate for a new striker. They had that Man U striker last season, didn't they? But things didn't work out with him. The funniest thing I can remember about David Nugent is when he nicked that goal off of Jermaine Defoe, wasn't it, in a England international. I think it was a friendly. But anyway, it was blatantly going in and Nugent's poked it in. So I think he's got one cap, one goal for England. How the hell he ever played for England, I'll never know. He'll go down with her. Some of the greats, won't he? Blues plan, Peto deal. Chelsea are ready to pay AC Milan £45 million for Alexandre Peto and then loan him back to the Italians for another year. Wow, that really would be desperation to actually pay £45 million for a player and then loan him back to them for another year. As we spoke about earlier, doesn't look like Chelsea are going to be signing anyone, but that's your bullshit story from the News of the World this Sunday. Let's have a look. In the Sun Express, Villa eyed Dunn deal. Man City skipper Richard Dunn could leave the club for Aston Villa. Yeah. Villa have had a few problems with centre-backs, haven't they? I know that Zat Knight's moved on to Bolton now, and Martin Larsson's fantastic defender, but he's always fucking injured. So it looks like Richard Dunn, good pro, getting on a bit now, but I think he'd be a good signing for the Villa. I remember when Tottenham thought they'd signed Richard Dunn, and they were all going, oh, it's a done deal, ha ha ha, and it turned out that no, it wasn't a fucking done deal, and he ended up signing for Man City. So I'll always love him for that. Speaking of Spurs, the people, what the fucking kind of newspaper is that? Spurs have Brown in their sights. Tottenham are targeting a move for Celtic midfielder Scott Brown as Harry Redknapp, oh, tap him up Harry, looks to bolster his squad. So no doubt Harry will be making a few little remarks in the media this week about what a fantastic player Brown is, etc. You know, the sort of shit that he does every fucking week. So Scott Brown, looks quite good when he plays for Celtic. I saw him playing the game against Dinamo in that Champions League qualifying. But, you know, a Scottish midfielder, you've got Darren Fletcher. Apart from him, it doesn't really work out when they move from Scotland to the Premiership. I mean, Darren Fletcher come through Man U, so it's a bit different, you know. But actually coming from the SPL to the EPL hasn't really worked since probably the 80s. Maybe there was a few players during the 90s, but in modern day football it doesn't really seem to work out too well. You had Petrov at Villa. He did okay. Anyway, apparently Stoke are after Reading winger Stephen Hunt, according to the Daily Express. So they're looking to sign the Gippo. Always be hated by Chelsea fans, of course, for trying to fucking kill our keepers. And finally, Chelsea in Ribery bid. Oh, here we go. Sunday Mirror. Chelsea have tabled the last-ditch £40 million offer for Bayern Munich star Frank Ribery. Well, that sounds like a load of fucking bollocks, doesn't it? So, yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't moved, actually, but Bayern Munich are really determined to hang on to him. I heard, who was it? Boris Becker talking during Wimbledon, actually, because he's a honorary president or some other shit at Bayern Munich, and he was saying how much they wanted to hang on to him and how they were not going to sell him to anyone. But it seems like it's right so far, because, you know, all these clubs have come calling for him and he hasn't gone anywhere. So fair play to Bayern for keeping their player. Yeah, that's all I can say about that. So this afternoon we had the Community Shield. It was between Man U and Chelsea. Man U, the Premiership champions, and losers, runners-up in the Champions League, against the FA Cup winners, Chelsea. Chelsea won the Community Shield after a penalty shootout win over Man U at Wembley in Carlo Ancelotti's first competitive game. We got off to a terrible start, conceding inside 10 minutes, but second half goals from Ricardo Carvalho and Frank Lampard looked enough to pull us back from behind to take some more Wembley silverware, only for Wayne Rooney to clip home an equaliser in stoppage time, forcing penalties. It was the same way this game was decided 2 years ago. On that occasion, United winning 3-0 after each of the Chelsea players had missed, but this time there were no mistakes. Lampard, Ballack, Drogba and Kalou made no mistake, while Peter Cech saved from Ryan Giggs and Patrice Evra to bring the Shield to Stamford Bridge. The Chelsea team was, we played a 4-4-2, diamond formation in midfield. We had Cech in goal, then we had Ivanovic, Carvalho, Terry, Ashley Cole. Then anchoring the diamond we had Mikel. Right side of the diamond was Essien. Left side of the diamond was Malouda. And at the top of the diamond was Frank Lampard. Up front, Drogba and Anelka. Manu played a 4-4-2. In goal, Foster, O'Shea, Ferdinand, Evans and Evra. In midfield, they had Park, Carrick, Fletcher and Nani. Up front was Berbatov and Rooney. Where there was uncertainty, Ancelotti picked Ivanovic at right back alongside Cavallio, and in midfield he went for Malouda over Balak and Deco. Manu came south with a few problems, missing defensive stalwarts Van der Sar and Nemanja Vidic, as well as Gary Neville, victim of a troublesome groin. In their place, Fergie went for Foster, John O'Shea and Johnny Evans, with Wayne Rooney and Berbatov preferred to Michael Owen, who was benched in attack. The Blues kicked off attacking their own fans and quickly tested Foster's alertness as Drogba, so often a Wembley goalscorer, shot from range and forced the goalkeeper into a low save. At the other end, John Terry had to be on his toes to poke the ball away from Berbatov, who had already gone into the book for blocking Mikel's quickly taken free kick. A rare mistake from United captain Rio Ferdinand almost gifted Chelsea the lead when he sent his back pass behind for a corner. From Lampard's corner, Ivanovic made contact, but Evra managed to head onto his own crossbar and the ball bounced clear. It had been a promising start, but all that came undone after 9 minutes when Nani was afforded too much space around the Chelsea area, cutting inside Ivanovic. Nobody closed the Portuguese winger down, and like his predecessor Ronaldo, the youngster knows where the goal is from 20 yards. And he duly fired beyond Peter Cech into the far corner. Nani cut inside Ivanovic. Essien didn't really help. It'll take him a bit of time to adjust to this diamond, I think. He didn't look on the ball at all for the first half an hour. And Nani's shot wasn't that great. I think Cech gotta take a bit of the blame. Him and Terry seems to get in each other's way, with Cech not knowing whether Terry was gonna boot him in the head and Terry not knowing whether to try and clear it or to let Cech deal with it. Anyway, 2 minutes later, Ivanovic's afternoon looked to be getting worse when he hauled down Evra, but managed to escape a card from ref Chris Hoy. When it happened again, within 2 minutes, the yellow card appeared and presented United with a real opportunity on the edge of the area from where Nani had just scored. Only 16 minutes had passed when United twice came close to doubling their advantage. Berbatov's cross, headed back across goal by Rooney and bundled towards the net by Ji-Sung Park, forcing Cech into a smart reflex save, before then having to beat away Berbatov's clipped effort after the Bulgarian had broken clear. Cech played really well today actually, made some really good saves. It's good to see Cech coming back into some sort of form. With Ivanovic, he was having a bit of a mare, to be honest. Yet again, a new Chelsea manager has decided that he doesn't really like the right back situation, and he decided to choose Ivanovic today over Bosingwa. And Ivanovic just didn't look comfortable at all. When Berbatov clipped the ball to the far post and Rooney headed it back towards goal, Ivanovic was sort of calling no man's land, didn't know where Rooney was at all. So it wasn't a great start for him. Anyway, it wasn't one-way traffic though, and Malouda should have equalised for Chelsea at the far post after Ashley Cole's cross had been diverted into his path by a superb Drogba volley. The Frenchman had time to pick his spot as the ball fell from the air, but rather than hit the target, he skewed it wide of Foster's goal and behind. On the half hour, Essien might have levelled after Cole sent across another cross into the danger area, but the Ghanaian's header was too high and United survived. Foster was having a difficult afternoon. Twice in succession, Drogba closed down his hurried and untidy clearances, but twice the England goalkeeper got away with it, though you had the feeling he wouldn't should it happen again. Drogba was chasing absolutely everything down, looked really up for this one. Foster didn't look too good actually, and Manu perhaps might be a bit worried about having Van der Sar out at the moment, having Foster deputise. Maybe Thomas Cusack will get his chance. Nicholas Anelka had been having a quiet afternoon, but as is his way, he sprang into life in an instant, finding the yard and shooting low, just past Foster's left-hand post. Prior to that, he had seen one powerful effort deflected over. At the other end, Czech produced a save of the game to deny Fletcher, leaping to tip the Scotsman's curling shot over the bar and away from a top corner. It was still Chelsea in his ascendancy though. Malouda crossed for Lampard in the final minute of the first half, but a United defender was paying close attention and nodded it over his own bar to prevent the equaliser. That was the last action of an eventful first half, which had suggested more goals would come. In the first half, Chelsea took a little while to adapt to this diamond formation. I know they've been playing it in pre-season. Perhaps took 25-30 minutes for them to actually get the ball down, start playing. Once they did, they looked quite good. I think Lampard and Essien might take a little bit of adapting to the diamond formation. Mikel didn't really provide too much protection in the midfield anchor role. Anyway, Ancelotti had things to consider at half time and chose to replace Ivanovic with Bosingwa in the right back berth. It was his opposite fullback Cole that had work to do though, brilliantly blocking Rooney's powerful effort at the beginning of the half when it looked like the deficit would be doubled. The next time the ball went close to a goal though, United's advantage was wiped away. Lampard and Malouda combined to cross into the 6-yard area, where Drogba and Foster bravely challenged for the ball. The keeper got there first, but only punched it as far as Carvalho, whose diving header bounced into the empty net. It wasn't the defender's first goal against United. He scored in a 1-0 Premier League draw at Old Trafford back in 2006-2007. It took Drogba a couple of minutes to recover from the blow he received, leaving Anelka up front alone. It didn't bother the former Arsenal man though, and again he rifled a powerful shot at Foster, who could only push it up into the skies. United eventually cleared their lines. Injury to Nani allowed Antonio Valencia a debut for Man U, while Ballack replaced Mikel in the Chelsea midfield, with Essien dropping into the anchor role. It took only 5 minutes for Chelsea to take the lead, and in slightly controversial circumstances, Ballack and Evra collided, leaving the United man down on the ground as Chelsea broke away. Man U actually expected Chelsea to play the ball out, but Man U did have the ball at the time, so the referee played advantage, didn't stop play at all. Chelsea played on, and Carvalho cleared up to Drogba, who turned his defender and crossed to the far post, where Lampard waited, controlled and fired. Foster got a hand to it, but only enough to push it into the net via the inside of the post, and it just bounced over the line. In response, Fergie made a further 4 changes, taking advantage of the rule that allows 6 subs to be made in this game, but it was Chelsea that went a close again, as Drogba fired hard and low, Foster just holding on. Ancelotti introduced Drogba, no not Drogba, it was Deco, that's it, he introduced Deco and Kalou in place of Malouda and Anelka, as the seconds began to tick away for United. Rooney headed over with a few minutes remaining, while sub Owen's desperation saw him earn a yellow card for a blatant handball, but there looked to be little more danger for Chelsea. That was until Rooney, who looked offside, and was offside, I think everyone on the planet would agree that he was offside, maybe apart from Andy Gray, who was adamant that Rooney was level with Ashley Cole. Anyway, Rooney latched onto the ball, Bosingwa was chasing after him, but Rooney raced towards goal and clipped the ball over the advancing Czech, forcing a penalty shootout. The penalty shootout took place at United-ended stadium, and it was Lampard who took first, firing home low into the middle of the net. Giggs followed up for United, but Czech saved with his feet, putting us one up. Ballack was next, firing hard and low into the bottom corner before Carrick beat Czech to make it 2-1. Drogba repeated Ballack's spot kick, and Evra almost passed the ball straight to Czech to have his penalty saved. It made it a very easy save and allowed Kalou the chance to fire the winner. There was a little bit of doubt before Kalou took his penalty, as it looked like they were trying to change the order of the penalty takers, with perhaps Kalou not fancying his penalty and Deco trying to worm his way in there and take it for him. But the referee quickly saw through that, and Kalou had to take his spot kick. Anyway, he did so with ease, picking out the top corner. And after a week when he was criticised for celebrating his own birthday, he could go out again with plenty to enjoy. And so, Ancelotti kicks off his Chelsea spell in the same way that Hiddink ended it, by lifting silverware at Wembley. Could it be the first of many? The Premiership season kicks off on Saturday. Chelsea are at home to Hull City. It's a 12:45 kick-off. I'm not sure if that's on Sky or ESPN. Speaking of ESPN, actually, I signed up for ESPN this week. Hell of a lot easier than signing up for Setanta, if anyone went through that. Rick Gamore, oh man, Setanta, oh, I could moan about them all day. They still fucking, they nicked about 60 quid off me. I never got any sort of football on my telly from them. But with ESPN, it took me about 5 minutes. Got a discount because I was already a Sky Sports subscriber, and it was just a hell of a lot easier. And it was on just straight away. Like, about 2 minutes later, I turned on ESPN and it was working. So if anyone's in any doubt as to the whole sign-up process for ESPN, if you're already a Sky subscriber, then it's a piece of piss. Anyway, on Tuesday the 18th, we're away to Sunderland. That's a 7:45 kickoff. So next week's games are on the Saturday, Hull at home, and on the Tuesday we've got Sunderland away. Looking at the fixtures, the first five Premier League fixtures, we've got Hull, Sunderland, Fulham, Burnley and Stoke. I don't think you could really ask for a better start to the season than that. I don't see a reason why we can't win all of them games and get off to a great start. Here's hoping so anyway. So right now would be the part where we would listen to what you've got to say, but as it's my first show and no one even knows about this podcast, it really shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. I've got fuck all to read. So anyway, let me take this opportunity to let you know how to get in touch with the show. You can email me at MrBlueSunday@gmail.com. It's MrBlueSunday@gmail.com. That's all one word. With any questions or comments you'd like to make about Chelsea, and any questions you'd like to ask me, or anything you'd like to say to your fellow listeners. You can also check out my show on Blog TV. That's blogtv.com/people/BlueSunday. I have a show every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on Blog TV. And also, the good thing about Blog TV is there's also, whilst you're watching the show, you can actually chat with anyone else who's watching it at the same time. So maybe you'll meet another Blue in there. My videos are also uploaded to YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/user/RobBlueSunday. You can also follow me on twitter.com/MrBlueSunday. If you'd like to help out the show, then please go to my Blog TV page and click on the Gift Pro Account button. This will give me a pro account and make the show a whole lot better and a whole lot easier for me to produce also. It includes getting rid of the annoying adverts if you're viewing my show on the Blog TV player. It also lets me record shows up to 30 minutes per segment rather than the 10 minutes that I'm limited to now. So if I've got a show that runs for 50 minutes, that means I'd have to upload 5 10-minute shows. But if I've got a pro account, then there'd be no adverts, and that 50-minute show could just be made into 2 shows with the 30 limit per show limit that I'd have as a pro user. I think it's around $23, so Anyway, I'll ask every week, and maybe one day someone will do that for me. If you haven't already, you can download my show in MP3 format so you can listen to the show at your own leisure. You can visit bluesunday.podbean.com. That's Podbean, PODBEAN.com. bluesunday.podbean.com. I'm also going to try and put the show on iTunes as well, so I'll let you all know when that goes on. So, anyway, bye for now, and up the Chelsea.